And our guest, Lauren Coleman, we're going to take your calls with Lauren, so get ready for this hour on Coast to Coast AM. I think one of the better stories to come down the pike in a while, Lauren, is the scientist up there in the United Kingdom who has a hair sample that they're studying under DNA that they got from India.
That does sound pretty interesting, although some of the early reports said that he said it looked like the hair that Sir Edmund Hillary had brought back in 1960, which, of course, was the Saro antelope. So we've got to be careful about that.
Right.
There has been a clarification, by the way, on the DNA sample.
Okay.
The Bigfoot hunter misstated what was actually found by Curtis T. Nelson of the University of Minnesota. The Bigfoot hunter said that there were three samples. One was inconclusive, one was human, and one was possum. Actually, the email that people are now reporting from Nelson, the media is reporting, they got copies of that. And he said that two of the samples were human, and the other, the third sample, was a combination of human and opossum. So it looks like really all of the samples were human.
Now, I should have, I guess, asked German, the creator of the costumes, if he uses human hair or not. Or maybe they could have put them in. Who knows, huh?
Well, it was a meaty substance, apparently. It had nothing to do with hair. It was part of an intestine, and also it was
okay.
More fleshy.
So this wasn't hair from the costume or
no,
whatever?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
To the phones we go, east of the Rockies, Justin in Oklahoma. You're on with us. Hey, Justin.
Hey, George. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, this is, you already said this, Justin. I'm calling from Oklahoma. But I saw the Bigfoot video on the Inside Edition today on TV.
Mm-hmm.
About like not even an hour ago. And just by me looking at the picture on the TV, I could tell that it looked pretty fake. You know, it looked like basically like a mask.
And let me ask you, are you upset that if it is fake, people have been duped?
Actually, I am upset, you know, because people like me, you know, that, you know, I really believe in Bigfoot and, you know, things like that, which I have never seen one, but, you know, it's all it does, you know, kind of put a, you know, a dampering, you know, on things, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and what it does, Lauren, it slaps the people in the face, not only the good researchers whom you've talked about, but people who have reported seen these creatures all around North America. People who are concerned, people who see them walking across roads, people who see them maybe when they're out hunting and camping. It makes them seem bad too, doesn't it?
It does. And there's a huge number of kids out there that are just getting interested in things, 10, 11, 12 years old. Some of them they come up to me, you know, in conferences, and they say, I want to be a cryptozoologist when I grow up. Well, I know that most of them will go on to become zoologists or marine scientists, and that's great. But something like this can be very depressing.
Next up, let's go to first-time caller line, Chris in Colorado. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? I have a question for your guest. I used to work up in Colorado Springs at a place called the Cave of the Winds. This was back when it was a much more rural area. That area is now being exploited by, you know, a company that's using that area for lesser good. But when I was working up there, it's right next to NORAD, and there had always been stories about it being haunted. But the things that I encountered when I worked there seemed Bigfoot-like in nature. I was just curious. I mean, they were gruntings and things shifting around in the dark that I had never experienced in my entire life. I'm a Bigfoot believer by any stretch of the imagination. Just curious. It's such a striking, you know.
All right. Have you heard anything of that, Lauren?
Well, there are Bigfoot reports from Pikes Peak in Colorado, but of course there are a lot of different animals that make noises in the dark, and so we really have to be careful. We need to, you know, get closer as long as you're safer, but you'd be amazed by how much noise a mule deer can make on the side of a mountain or the side of a road.
True. And why the inconsistency at the news conference in terms of how they found the creature? I mean, why even make that confusing?
Well, if you're worried about you know, a felon who shoots it, or if you're worried about your story giving you more legal problems, then you want to create a story where you've tripped over it, or you want to create a story where you were a skeptic before, so in front of the media you can look like you're all of a sudden startled. So it seemed like every one of their inconsistencies looked like as if they were trying to move to a neutral place where they wouldn't be asked more questions. Even for Matt Whitten to refuse to answer any questions about was he a police officer, his early videos on YouTube showed him talking about Bigfoot and then showed tapes from his local newscast of him being shot up and, you know, being on administrative leave. So it's just over and over again they were changing their stories.
What if there was some guy who was walking around the woods in a Bigfoot costume, they came upon him, accidentally shot the guy because they didn't know, and now they're really in trouble?
Yeah, well,
who knows?
I'm sure hope that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's as far-fetched as the original news conference, I guess. Let's go to you, Bob, in Illinois. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Bob.
Hi, George. Thanks, George.
Sure.
Hi, Lauren. Lauren, on that Patterson tape, the Patterson tape where they show Bigfoot near the walking into the woods. There's a gentleman, George, you know, Matt Moneymaker.
Oh, yeah, just had him on last week.
Right. Now, he believes that is Bigfoot. And also that the professor from, I forget what college that is, he believes that's actually Bigfoot, too, on that tape. Now, Lauren, I believe you say you don't believe that is Bigfoot, right? Because that, it sure looks phony, the way that beast is walking. It looks like somebody in a costume, but what is your take on that again? You don't believe that is Bigfoot, right? You don't agree with Moneymaker?
Well, no, I tend to agree more with Moneymaker than you think. I don't use the word belief. I accept or deny evidence, and so far I've only seen very bad hoax claims put together for the Patterson film. I've talked to Bob Gimlin. I tend to think that film is more accurate than most of these people that do their documentaries on other news stations. So I'd say that I'm probably in the 80-20 camp as far as believing that considering that the Patterson film is accurate. So I don't know where the gentleman heard that, you know, even in my book Bigfoot, I do a whole chapter about the Patterson film and how I support it.
Okay, that sure looked like a phony Bigfoot, though, in the freezer. That mask.
yeah, I think that we're talking a whole different category of hoax.
Right.
You know, when we look at the, I mean, even the mask maker, the costume maker, who said that the orientation of the head certainly is all crooked, and you definitely would have had to have a broken neck to have it fit in there that way.
Off to Georgia we go. Hey, Ben, take it away. You're on with Lauren Coleman.
Good evening, guys. Hi, Lauren.
Hi there.
Pleasure to talk with both of you. Listen, one of the things that occurred to me, and especially seeing him really stumble when they asked him about being a police officer, you know, the way they came upon this thing, it would almost be like somebody coming on a crime scene. If you found something that you thought was so human-like, you know, this is a police officer that's, best I can tell, been in about 6 years.
Right.
And they know how to treat a crime scene when they come to it. They know how to preserve evidence. And yet these guys did none of that.
Exactly.
And I heard you guys mention earlier, well, what if they came across a guy in a Bigfoot costume and shot him?
Well, I mean, he did everything.
They don't strike me as typical first responders here.
No. I mean, he said, you know, to one question, why didn't you go to, you know, fish and game? And he said he just didn't want to do that because he didn't want to cause a frenzy. But he said later on that he didn't think there was any big deal when he found the body. So
well, from what they're saying, it sounds like that they were on public land. And if that's the case, you know, either DNR in Georgia or Fish and Wildlife Service, if it's Appalachian National Forest, have jurisdiction over that and anything that's moved out of it. So they may have well, if this were to turn out to be the real thing, they may have well illegally moved these remains.
Right, exactly. And if it's a hoax, it didn't happen. And if it's a human, then it was a murder scene. But even the forensics, even their how they've handled the evidence is horrible because you don't freeze biological samples to really preserve them.
Lauren, why didn't they have the body there? I mean, what was their reason for that?
Well, the reason for that, I mean, you'd have to ask them, obviously, but it seemed like it was just all part of the show to keep it longer, keep it going. You know, if you've, I had heard from this individual that they were selling the rights for $11 million to film the autopsy to some a group of investors. Now, was that a story that was told me to make me, you know, write about it on CryptoMundo or The Anomalist? Was it just another thing to try to make me more interested? And they decided not to tell anybody at the news conference because they were already in the deep doo-doo. Or is there something going on with them thinking that they can sell the rights to the autopsy and so that they can make more money that way?
Do you think the chronology was accurate in that the two of them went to the Bigfoot hunter? Or do you think they were all within each other's knowledge even before this?
Well, you know, I think that that is a theory that's certainly been presented out there, and we have to look at that. This individual, the Bigfoot hunter, certainly has the wherewithal and the tomfoolery to actually set up things like this, almost as if you're seeding a hoax early on. But that really doesn't do us any good to get deeply into that conspiracy theory, because we have absolutely no evidence of that, almost as the least amount of evidence as we have for the body. But,
right,
you know, we certainly know that their chronology is falling apart, and it makes us all wonder, when does this Bigfoot tracker really get involved?
And when does this thing really hit? That's the big thing. Next week?
Well, I think it really hit already. And
yeah,
I
you may be right.
I think now will be the hoodwinking and, the body disappeared, or it decayed, or we had to throw it away. Look on curbside.
We ate it. Jimmy in Colorado, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Sure.
I grew up in North Georgia, a place called Blue Ridge out in Fanning County. I've gone hunting, I've gone fishing, I've gone camping, and never once in my 20-some-odd years of living in North Georgia, and all of my family's, you know, my my family history is there, and never once have we ever heard of any Bigfoot in North Georgia. You know, I could tell you ghost stories that'll scare you to death that actually happened to family members, but never once have I heard anything of any North Georgia Bigfoot. It's, you know, would I like it to have been true? Yeah, it would have been very cool.
Sure.
But it's very, I mean, I got kind of duped, and I'll tell you why. I mean, a few weeks ago, you were talking about a country that was going to give rights to any Bigfoot that may be found in the future. So I'm thinking, wow, did this happen? Is something going on that you know, we're laying the groundwork ahead of time just in case? And so I'm thinking, well, maybe this did happen. I mean, this would be just an awesome thing to see and happen.
Oh, sure. I mean, we all thought that it was possible that somebody could have finally stumbled across a body of one. I mean,
I think that if they would have shown the body today, if they would have stuck to their story that they had earlier talked about, there could have been a whole bunch of things to really present this in a much better fashion. I mean, even for Jeff Meldrum to be attacked during the news conference.
Right, and he's a great investigator.
Yeah, the Bigfoot hunter saying he's no real anthropologist. I mean, this became a personal, tirade during parts of that news conference, and it was focused against other researchers. And, you know, what place does that have if you're revealing the biggest find of the century?
And I wish they would have taken them to task a little harder in terms of where is the body. I mean, it was
secrecy. It was all softball questions, I must say. There was really nobody really challenging them.
Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. Hey, Ray, you're up with us.
Yeah, I'm calling from Oklahoma City, and I seen that picture of supposed Bigfoot on the news. And I was thinking, you know, I could tell it didn't look right. It looked fake because if you looked at the fur on the body, how it's all matted.
Mm-hmm.
But the head looked smooth, and you could tell if you looked at the nose, it was out of proportion. It was too big, and it don't look like the ones from eyewitness reports. But if anybody really looks at the body, it looks like a skeleton hand of some kind on the body. And if it's just, you know, if the hand was already decayed or anything like that, looked like the whole body would have been, you know, a bunch of parts on the body would have been decayed and stuff.
Hey, Lauren, let me ask you, if they stuffed a costume with guts and you just look at it real quickly, how many people would think it was real? I would, just quick, you know, peering in there. Wouldn't you?
Probably, sort of. Yeah. I mean, and then if you threw some intestines on top of it to say that it was, you know,
oozing out. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, but it would take some.
Your caller is correct. If you look at the picture of the body in the box, you'll see that the hair is nicely combed upward above the brow ridge, and it exactly matches the mask of the costume, and yet the hair on the body has the look of fabric, or as someone said, even like a buffalo rug.
Very, you know, very astute for him to pick that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Next up, let's go to you, Brian, in Utah. You're on with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, we're doing well.
I had a question for Lauren. I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of your research. I think what you're doing is really good.
He's one of the best.
Thank you.
My question was, if these guys are so adamant, you know, about this thing being real, and you know, just so sure, you know, and of course they don't come to the press conference with a body. I was just curious, you know, if they say they don't want to cause a frenzy. You know, why wouldn't they get, you know, the top guys in the field, you know, like you and Jeff Meldrum, you know, Matt Moneymaker, you know, and maybe Mike Chilcutt, you know, guys like that. And, you know, even out of the eyes of the media, you know.
Well, Brian, you're answering your own question with logic.
Well, I go even further than that. I want a panel of the most skeptical anthropologists and zoologists who do not consider Bigfoot a possibility. I want those people to be the ones examining it, having a press conference with the body and these individuals. I don't want any possibility that people are saying Meldrum and Coleman and Moneymaker and Wool Heater and Patrick Weege and all of these people that are Bigfoot authors and researchers, they're all just, you know, doing a game here and telling us it's real. I want people that are skeptical and scientific.
And I'd like to bring in Michael Shermer from the Skeptical Inquirer.
Yeah, or Ben Ranford.
Absolutely. Stay with us, Lauren. Final 30 minutes of phone calls for you. Next hour, we'll have open lines. I'm George Norrie. More of your calls with Lauren Coleman as we talk about this Bigfoot News Conference right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, next hour we'll have open lines for you, but when we come back, we'll finish up with final phone calls with our special guest tonight, Lauren Coleman, on Coast to Coast AM. Back we are with your phone calls and Lauren Coleman. By the way, Lauren, I want to thank you for spending the time with us over the past week, taking our hands and walking us through this thing.
Sure. Well, as long as people understand, it's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you've got a good opinion.
Thank you.
How did you get in? I've never asked you this. How did you get interested in cryptozoology?
In March of 1960, I saw a movie. It was the first science fiction film by a documentary filmmaker called Half Human. I went to school the next day and I said, "What's this about the abominable snowman?" All my teachers said, "You know, don't waste your time." And so I read everything I could under the sun about the abominable snowman, and that led to Bigfoot.
When I was a kid, same thing. I would read things about what was up there in the Himalayas, and I just loved those stories.
I almost immediately was on expeditions with game wardens and game men around the Midwest looking for black panthers and giant snakes and little ape-like creatures.
So. Is the abominable snowman's hair white, or is it dark?
No, it's brownish, reddish, black, and it's the myth that it's white.
That's okay.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That kind of thing.
Movie, yeah.
Back to the phones we go with Lauren Coleman, Mike in California, first-time caller. Thanks for calling, Mike.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And Lauren, great work. You know, I live in Northern California.
Thank you.
I'm a 6'2" hairy guy, so.
You're Bigfoot.
I'm Bigfoot, no.
Put the costume on.
Exactly. I was actually calling. I was just wondering, is there any chance that this might be like some sort of distraction from like what's really going on in the world today? Just to bring up, you know, something that's. People have been looking forward to for, you know, such a long time.
Probably not with the individual, the main individual involved with this, Mike.
I think,
Lauren, I'll let you address this too, but I think it's either a hoax or the guy thinks it's real, but I don't think it's for any kind of message to try to delude us from anything else.
Yeah.
Your take, Lauren?
No, I think you have to look at who's involved in this, and it certainly doesn't seem to have any major motives like that. There's maybe revenge against other researchers. There may be money, but those really are questions after this all kind of gets to a final stage that we need to ask those three individuals.
I think if those want to get our minds off other things, that they're going to do it in a bigger way, not utilizing Bigfoot as the excuse.
Right.
It's going to be something else. Next up, thanks for your call, Mike. East of the Rockies, Dave in Ohio. Go ahead, David.
Yes, sir. You know what I enjoy most about this show, and especially topics like this, is you get to sit down and listen to people and hear their process of reasoning. You know,
absolutely. It's fascinating.
Yes, it is. And thank you very much.
That's it?
Oh. Well, how
about that?
Nice.
Well, thank you. Let's go to Stuart in Hawaii. You're on the line. Hey, Stuart, take it away.
Hey, aloha, George.
Thank you.
I appreciate your guest and your work very much. Yes, I had an experience in Northern California in the 70s, long before I was aware of Bigfoot and all that activity in that area. But now, in retrospect, I may be able to attribute to Bigfoot, but the point of this is I do not think this is a creature and a social creature that has been so skillful at evading humans for so long that's just going to leave a body laying around the forest to rot. I mean, we know from testimony on your show that, hey, there's quite of an odor when they're alive. Could you imagine when they're rotting? I don't think they have it in their cultural survival mechanism and protocols to just leave one of their members lying around dying, dead.
And they surely wouldn't peek at other people around a tree while they were taking him away.
I wouldn't think so.
Exactly. If there was a family of Bigfoot there, I wouldn't have rolled out this way.
No.
Well, thank you. That's my impression very much.
Yep.
Have you heard of any reports of Bigfoot attacking anybody, Lauren, in your history of investigating?
Well, sure. There's, the 1924 attacks. Near St. Helens, and then there's the whole Mount St. Helens, and then there is the whole idea that some of the eastern Bigfoot are actually more aggressive. But as far as Georgia, the ape-like reports from Georgia really almost are quite different from the classic Bigfoot out west. So, the kind of chimpanzees in the trees or the orangutans on the ground, the skunk ape sort of reports are much different. So what's intriguing is that this Bigfoot hunter who said he had an experience of his own in 1981, it was with a 7'4" creature, and here this creature is interestingly 7'7" long, tall. So just can't get away from that 7-foot creature.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Back to more phone calls. Zach in Mississippi. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, George. Lauren, how are y'all tonight?
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, I have a question for you, Lauren. You mentioned earlier that you don't like to use the word belief, but instead you either accept or deny evidence of the existence of Bigfoot. And I'd like to hear some of the evidence that allows you to believe in Bigfoot. What are some of the things that you've seen or heard?
You just like me sometimes slip into the use of the word belief. Well, I think George and I have done long, long programs on this, but it's, you know, it's really, there's hair samples, there's footprints, there's testimony, there's Native American legends, there's a whole body of evidence really convinces me that a small percentage of the actual cases or reports are talking about an unknown hairy humanoid or hominoid or anthropoid out there in North America. Very small population and very intelligent and very elusive. So, you know, that's why I think at the beginning of all of this, when there wasn't so much this other person involved, certainly we could have seen mm-hmm. the scenario really unfolding, but it's just got really murky.
And, you know, when we first had the original story of these two individuals, the third person was not involved in it at the time, or at least publicly.
Yeah, it kind of crept up there rather quickly.
Yeah. Let's go to Minnesota. Hey, Dan, take it away, east of the Rockies. Yeah.
First time. I haven't been listening to you long. I just discovered you about maybe a year and a half ago.
Well, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I've been a hunter all my life. I'm 47, and I got to say, one glance at that photo is just a joke. It's totally phony. There's nothing credible about that at all.
Setup, you think?
Yeah. Pardon me?
A setup, Dan?
Yeah, it's totally a phony fake thing. I mean, the anatomy, everything is just like, everything's just wrong.
Hunters would know, Lorne.
Yep.
It's pretty pathetic.
You know, what's interesting, I was...
15 minutes of fame or whatever.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Go ahead, Lorne.
Well, I was talking to some people in Georgia today, and they were mentioning to me that this area where it happened is the same place where the movie Deliverance had its setting. So we definitely know that's a wild part of Georgia, but for this to have happened, it seems like, you know, if there was all of these different pieces of detail, why weren't we seeing more of it?
It's just amazing, if it's not real, that 99% that we believe that it's not real, why they would continue to do this. I mean, and hurt the efforts of people who are out there. And I'm sure the Bigfoot hunter involved in this, as we talked about earlier this week, Lorne, he, I'm sure, would love to find one.
Yeah.
But why have to play around with trickery and stuff like that?
Why, if you've found it and you've been searching for it all your life and you really know that nobody will ever forget, you know, I mean, a few of us certainly will never forget the names of these three individuals, if it's real, why wouldn't you just put that out there for everybody right away?
And you know what's so bizarre? Even though my gut tells me it's not real, even though my brain tells me it's not real, there's a little piece of me that says, well, what if I'm wrong? Maybe it is real. And that's nuts, isn't it?
Well, that's what they've got in mind. That's certainly what they, how they were able to get so many people from the media to come to that press conference in which they said nothing today.
Let's go to Alaska. Steve, take it away, Stephen.
Yeah, hi, George.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked. I talked to Tom at length a couple of weeks ago. In fact, he wanted to come up to Alaska. We had some problems up there. I'm here there now. I'm staying up there up north where I'm at now with my family and some other prospectors that were in the area where we were. And anyway, I had talked to the fellow from the Bigfoot hunter, and I was kind of stunned when I watched the press conference today, because I knew something wasn't right. It didn't seem real what they were saying, and I just I'm at a total loss. I can't understand why they would do something like this. I had talked to his son, the Bigfoot hunter's son, TJ. I talked to his partner, Java Bob, and they seem very sincere about what they were doing, but The Bigfoot hunter was kind of pushy. He had given me his word that he wouldn't mention my name or location. He wanted a fellow prospector that had an encounter to go onto his show. And I look on his website, and there's my name and my location. So I emailed him. I said, hey, what's up? You know, you gave me your word.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he emailed me back, said he didn't know what I was talking about. But
oh,
I kind
geez.
Of read him the riot act and told him, you know, there was no misunderstanding. He took my name off
yeah.
the website. But I just I can't believe that the people that I had talked to on the phone are trying to pull this sham off on people. And I'm pretty sure it's a sham. I mean, it just.
You can feel it, can't you, Steve?
Well, the thing is, why would they need DNA evidence if they've got a body and a freezer? I mean, why mess around with DNA when they can just have a independent expert look at it in 2 seconds and tell you that it's either real or it's not? And my feeling is that they're, like Lauren said, they're buying time to,
well, you know,
for monetary gain is all I can say.
And that's a good point, Steve. You know, Lauren, he's right. If you have the creature and you can see it, you really don't need a DNA analysis at this point. What you want to do is unveil the creature, right?
Yes, you show people the body, the carcass, the specimen, and then you do DNA samples.
Yeah, I mean,
don't do it the other way around.
DNA is good when you find a hair sample or something and you don't know what the rest of the body looks like. In this particular case, you've got the whole thing.
Right. It just doesn't make sense the way they're doing it. Except it does make sense to us because we have run into this before.
If it's not real, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Let's go to Virginia. Mike, take it away. You're on with Lauren Coleman on Coast to Coast.
Oh, George. Oh, Lauren.
Hello.
I was wondering if either of you guys remember the reading about the Cardiff Giant.
Sure. That's New York State, yes.
Do you find, like, a tremendous parallel as to what's going on here?
Well, the thing with that is that it was made of stone, and it was kind of I find many more parallels to P.T. Barnum and the Fiji Mermaid, where,
yeah.
where something was really set up over in England. All of these letters started appearing, and then P.T. Barnum brought them over here and got people into his museum and then charged them to see the created taxidermic item, which was the Fiji Mermaid.
P.T. So was one of the best, Lauren, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just keep on going through the tent, please.
And what was his slogan? A sucker's born every minute?
Yeah.
Something.
See, that's the thing. You're talking about your 99% surety that this is a hoax. And that 1% who would just maybe kind of like to see it.
Yeah, it's that 1%.
And if a guy can make a buck off somebody seeing it.
Exactly.
In a long tradition.
What is it about the human being, Lauren, that wants this to be real? What is it?
Well, I think we all know that there are large unknowns out there. We also know that there are new animals being discovered all the time. So the possibility that, first of all, that there is a Bigfoot is very high in a lot of us. And then within that, we all kind of think that, well, maybe somebody does have a body. So I think our hopes do get very much accelerated.
Did you want this to be real?
Well, I don't think want is a good word. I think that certainly before I die, I would like to have a major discovery of a cryptid, you know, one of the big three, Bigfoot, Nessie, or the Abominable Snowman. But, you know, I'm very happy to keep going along and seeing a lot of other cryptids discovered. So it's not that I wanted it to happen. I just was hopeful that there was some reality to this, but it didn't take me too long to see through this.
No, not at all. You knew deep down inside.
Yeah, deep down inside, unfortunately, yeah.
Harry in Texas. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, I'll tell you what really bothers me about this, and that is that the connotation, these are hunters. I've been a hunter for over 40 years. My dad was a hunter. His dad was a hunter. To kill something just for curiosity is violates everything having to do with real hunting. But what I'd like to see is Georgia Department of Natural Resources confiscate this, whatever it is. If they shot it, first they need to know what was it they shot.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Violate hunting regulations. And they also, there's laws here in Texas about wasting anything you shoot, unless it is a predator. you cannot waste an animal. In other words, you can't just go shoot hogs and just let them lay. You can't go take them and show them off and then let them rot. And that's what it sounds like these guys are doing. And it really disturbs me. If there's one bit of DNA in there that could be human, these guys need to be prosecuted for murder. This has got to stop. I mean, we have to have more respect for wildlife. Just because we don't understand what it is doesn't mean we have a right to shoot it. And I'm not one of these big animal rights activists. I've been a hunter for a long time, but I'm a responsible hunter. And this really disturbs me.
And most hunters are responsible, too, aren't they?
Real hunters, absolutely. Yeah. Finest group of people in the country. But are there rules in Georgia regarding this, wasting of wildlife and shooting of non-game animals?
I don't know, but that's worth checking into.
A couple of points. I don't think anybody claims these people are hunters. I think that, they even said today they were hikers, and the early story was that somebody else who was in a deer blind had shot this thing, and then these guys came in and they confiscated the body. Of course, their story now is that they just tripped over it. And the other point is that we don't even know if that body, if it exists, which we don't think it really does, if it exists, it's supposedly been moved from Georgia. It may have been moved from Georgia. So the hoax may be on a roadshow already.
We've heard things that, it's being watched by an armed guard.
Right.
That it was sold, as you thought, for millions to someone.
Right.
Who knows what's going on with that?
Right. I mean, we can only tend to accept what we have presented, and we have not been presented too much.
How do they resurrect next, Lorne? What's the next move by them?
Well, the next move seems to be we're going to hear about these people from Russia coming in and being filmed by individuals doing the autopsy. But they also promised a news network that a reporter could go look at the body. Now, that's not going to help us at all because this reporter is not an anthropologist or a biologist. She won't know what she's looking
at. No, if you're looking at something with a pretty good costume and guts coming out of it, you're going to think, my God, this is a real thing.
So if next Tuesday or Wednesday, a radio show host who's seen it or a news broadcaster and her documentary team, her news team, really, and they show clips of it, what's that going to tell us? It's just going to extend the circus.
I have a feeling that we'll be talking to you again, Mr. Coleman.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
All right. Take care.
I'll be back in a moment. Open lines now on Coast to Coast AM.